I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock, I offer up a safe space for the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician. Also for the probably most non-hysterics out there, or part of this audience, because boy, we are off to the races again, aren't we, when it comes to the fear of the day. We'll get to that in just a little while. Today is the day that the Ghislaine Maxwell trial is supposed to start. Now, it has long been my theory, since the announcement of her arrest, that we have seen absolutely no pictures of her. I have searched. I have asked for people to provide them to me. There have been no pretrial pictures. I assume that she had pretrial hearings by Zoom. I believe there was one court appearance where we got a cartoon drawing. You know, one of these crayon sketches from a courtroom artist, but we have seen no pictures post-arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, and it has been my theory that the woman's probably not even in custody. But maybe I'm wrong. Today is supposed to start the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. There will be no cameras in the courtroom, but that is not unusual, apparently, for federal trials. They do not allow that, but they say you can listen in. There's a courtroom audio feed that will go out. People have been saying that the media will be banned from the proceedings, but I've also read that that is not the case. The court has said they will have media in the gallery and media allowed into overflow rooms. So maybe we will find out that she actually is in the United States, is actually on trial, or maybe we'll just get more cartoon sketches. I'm not really sure yet. But we will see. The Ghislaine Maxwell trial could be a biggie. She was actually the one to break open the little black book and start implicating people. She may not be long for this world, but I was waiting for some kind of a COVID outcome that prohibited her from standing trial, anything like that. But I could be completely wrong, always ready to be wrong. The trial is supposed to start today. So if anybody sees a picture, maybe it'll go widespread of her coming into court. I'm sure the media will be swarming the courthouse. Maybe we will actually see some photos of her for the first time. It's been a little suspicious to me along the way. I will remain suspicious that we see any justice and any of the co-conspirators actually held accountable for the decades-long child sex trafficking ring that went on while the FBI was busy setting up lone nut job Muslims on Facebook. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. We're going to get into the main part of the news today. I always like to have kind of a couple of warm-up things. Stocks crumbled on Friday. A little bit more on that why later. But it was a big down day. I think it was around 900 points. They're coming back today. As they say, buy the dip, buy the dip. The Fed's got your back. They'll keep the money printing going. The stocks went down. They had a headline out, Black Friday shopping drops 28%. Now, this could be from a variety of factors. The fact that they've been running essentially Black Friday stuff for the past maybe 6 to 8 weeks. Also, people have been concerned about supply chain issues. So many people shopped earlier than that. And then today, of course, is Cyber Monday, where they convince us all to hoard on, cram into the online websites to do our holiday shopping there. So sales down. Of course, that 28% could just be the amount that was actually stolen over Black Friday as opposed to purchased. The ransacking of retailers across the nation continues with these flash mobs going into everything from Best Buy to Tiffany's Jewelers around the country with their smash and grabs, and big packs of people doing that. So there's going. But I ran across one story, one financial story I wanted to get to before we start getting into the fear of the day. And that was a story that was about, this is probably old news to most people. I'm sure your Republican representatives have told you all about this, right? You know, those stalwart fiscal conservatives that we elect every time. They talk a lot about the ridiculous Build Back Better plan, the infrastructure plan coming out of the Biden administration. Have Republicans told you any of these numbers? Listen to this. At a time, this was a piece by Brian McClinchy. Writes for Stark Realities, at a time when President Biden and congressional Democrats are pushing to expand the breadth of entitlements to include free preschool, subsidized child care, little is attention is given to the fact that the country's biggest existing entitlement program, Social Security, is a financial wreck. Now, everybody knows Social Security is not sustainable in its current form, but do you know how bad the problem is? Wait till you get a hold of this number. Social Security's payouts have exceeded revenue since 2010, but the recent past is nowhere near as grim as the future, according to the latest annual report by Social Security's trustees. The gap between promised benefits and future payroll tax revenues has reached a staggering, are you ready for this number? The gap between promised benefits and future payroll tax revenue has reached a staggering $59.8 trillion. That gap is actually $6.8 trillion larger than it was just a year ago. Biggest driver of that move wasn't COVID-19, but rather a lowering of expected fertility over the coming decades. Point to the food, the chemicals, and the social engineering for that, but $59.8 trillion is the shortfall in Social Security, yet we are continuing, up to and including today, to rob our young people of a portion of their paycheck every single week so that us, the greedy, the selfish generations of the greatest generation, the boomers, and my generation, Generation X, so we can get our hands on that sweet retirement savings that we've been promised. We're going to loot the system like a bunch of locusts by taking money from the young workers, taking it out now before this whole Ponzi scheme collapses. $59.8 trillion shortfall looming for Social Security. Now, of course, there's things they could do for this, right? They can raise the retirement age, which they will. They can lower the benefits, cut the benefits, which they will. And they can increase the percentage of payroll taxes collected, which they will. Understanding that these are all things that hurt the people, the public servants that we have. This is always very interesting to me. The public servants have so horribly mismanaged a program. Actually, it never should have been put in place in the first place. It was always a Ponzi scheme. But particularly with the declining population and an aging population, it becomes a rapidly deteriorating Ponzi scheme. But all of the things that are designed to prop this disgusting Ponzi scheme up will all come at the expense of the average saver and the average American. $59.8 trillion. You know, there's a lot of people out there, even conservatives, they'll say, well, I don't like the government, but at least we can at least point to Social Security and Medicare. Those two programs, you have to admit, those have provided income and kept our seniors from starving and kept them in medical care. Yeah. Ponzi schemes work for a while. They look fantastic for the first few that are taken, particularly when you can force the new entrants to the Ponzi scheme at the point of a gun to hand over money. A Ponzi scheme can last quite a while. But we've had Republican administrations as well. If you've noticed, they've run the table. Trump had 2 years of full Republican control, and he's certainly not the only one. There have been others as well. Yet we find ourselves almost $60 trillion in the hole going forward on Social Security. My apologies to all of you out there, age 50 and below, that are being robbed each and every paycheck of Social Security put into this scheme so that older generations can take out their pound of flesh before the whole thing collapses. We truly, truly, the older adults in the United States are a selfish, selfish generation. Myself included, although I'm not receiving benefits. I have been robbed of them. I do not expect to get any more, but we have sat back and allowed people, elected people, to lead us into this catastrophe. $60 trillion. and nobody's talking about it. How odd. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
My quote of the day today comes in a tweet from a guy named, I hope this isn't some Shant Mesrobian. I hope that's not something clever that I just cussed in some foreign language, but he put out a tweet. He said, the job of the mainstream media today is to make you think that the views of 10% of the country are actually the views of 80% of the country. The job of the mainstream media today is to make you think that the views of 10% of the country are actually the views of 80% of the country. And I think that's absolutely dead on as the media drives hysteria. And we believe that, and I think this is part of the great division here in the United States. You know, when you hear some of the more radical things, particularly coming from the left, you think it means that all Democrats support these things. That everybody on the left is totally in lockstep with all of these things, from CRT to the shots, to the masks, to everything else, that's the case. There was actually a story. Let me divert here from my notes, skip ahead just a tiny bit, because I thought this was interesting. Again, they talk about making us think that everybody thinks the same thing that the media pushes. I mean, why would the media be talking about it? These stories wouldn't have gotten so much traction if most people didn't believe these things. This was just interesting. This is on PennLive.com from Pennsylvania. In major setback, the number of Pennsylvanians vaccinated against COVID-19 drops by 1 million overnight. Pennsylvania on Wednesday said 68.8% of adult residents are fully vaccinated against COVID-19, far less than the 73.7% cited on Tuesday, and numbers highlighted in a new news releases for this week. So somehow they've got a miscalculation of the number of people in Pennsylvania, and they dropped 1 million of them. Oh, these people didn't actually happen. They dropped off 1,076,911 adult Pennsylvanians who were believed to be fully vaccinated on Tuesday, and it turns out are not. It just casts more doubt on this whole idea that the vaccines have been so popular with so many people. Now, I know a lot of people, particularly people I just spent holiday weekend with, who have gotten the jabs and were actually excited about the boosters. I kept my mouth shut. That damage is done. We'll see what happens in the end. So certainly a lot of people have lined up to be experimented on, but it's very interesting when you start seeing these stories, and I believe there have been some other states that have done the same thing. They've gone in and recalculated, and they're finding that, oh, not quite so many people, but they've got such an interest in making everyone believe that everybody's doing it. And that gets us to, after the quote of the day, the fear word of the day. Fear word of the day, Omicron. Fear word of the day, Omicron. Here it comes. They've come up with what I can only surmise is going to be the reason now that the shots don't work. Pay no attention to the last 6 to 8 months worth of data that's come out of Israel and Germany and Gibraltar. Gibraltar, that's 100% inoculated, just about. It's like 99.9% of people in Gibraltar are vaccinated. Yet it's one of the world hotspots of coronavirus. But now we come out with the Omicron strain, the variant. So when they can't explain the huge numbers of breakthrough cases, hospitalizations, and deaths they're seeing right now, they trot out a new variant to say the shots were great, but nature threw us a curveball. Can you imagine if we were constantly barraged with all of the flu variants every single year? Uh-oh, in Massachusetts, we have discovered a new strain of the flu. Of course, we never actually do that, even though the flu is more dangerous to certain demographic groups. The flu is more dangerous to children than any of the COVID variants have been so far. But that is not going to stop the fear-mongering around this, too. Right across the story, here's some tweets that have gone out with this new arrival of Omicron, the fear word of the day. The Telegraph, London Telegraph, says, of all the variants so far, B.1.1.529 is causing the most alarm, and with good reason. Now, they jumped the gun on this one. They called it the new variant. That's NU variant. The new variant has an eye-watering number of mutations, many of which could help it dodge immunity or make it more infectious. Could, maybe, might. An eye-watering number of mutations. I guess this is from the class of people who were constantly teary-eyed about COVID in the first place. UK Health Services is investigating a new variant. More data is needed, but we're taking precautions now. From noon tomorrow, six African countries will be added to the red list. Flights will be temporarily banned, and on and on and on. So this is what they're doing. And I want to remind conservatives again that you fell for this crap when it came to terrorism. This feels like exactly the same playbook. So when we look at our fellow hysterical citizens, yeah, look at them and treat them as if you would like to be treated. What woke you up to the scam of terrorism and war? Or, wait, many of you are probably still scammed by the terrorism propaganda, but it's exactly the same thing, a new sleeper cell. I don't know how much in conservative media I saw of the ISIS and Al-Qaeda cells in Mexico that were plotting attacks on the United States. So just don't be too quick to judge. They got me for a couple of years, too, on the terrorism stuff. So I have to look. There was a video going around among the hosts up here at the station. Just a really sad thing of a guy just literally running away from people in a grocery store that were unmasked. As he was hoarding toilet paper, by the way. And I looked at this person just as a victim. Believe me, they're as annoying as anything else. Apparently, this guy had taken a picture of a man's daughter and him, particularly his minor daughter, because she wasn't wearing a mask. So for some reason, this hypochondriac felt the need to take a picture of her because she was, he felt, violating some kind of a mandate. And the father took great exception to that, as most dads would, and come up and snap a picture of my minor child. And was following this guy around the store saying, why are you taking a picture of my child? And this man was running. He was fleeing for his life from another human being that wasn't coughing or sneezing, wasn't sick. They were out and about. They were just shopping. This man was running away, hysterical, seemed almost teary-eyed and weeping in his voice. Stay away. I'm just trying to stay alive. This is just abuse on a massive scale with this fear-mongering, and I try to have some compassion in my heart. Again, conservatives kind of reacted the same way when it came to terrorism and to the wars for a long time. So we just need to keep that in mind. We've all been duped. This particular guy just really taken over the edge. Here is the stack of headlines around the new fear word of the day, Omicron. Here we go again. Israel bans all foreigners from entering the country. Reinstates phone surveillance. More shots. Race to tweak the vax. This is so disgusting. You know right now this is going to be the reason that they point to complete and absolute vaccine failure across the world. Well, it would have worked great, but this gosh golly, this thing mutated. It will also be the reason that they roll out the new tweaked shots. No further testing needed. They've already cleared the way for this technology. Now they'll tell us it's just like the flu shot. We don't have to go through approval and testing of every single flu shot when we change the strain. So they will just use that. They will use this as a double whammy. This is why the shots aren't working. It's not because the shots were ineffective and dangerous. It's because of this new variant. And number two, that does mean that even if you've had your first two and you got your booster, this is a whole nother thing altogether. You need to go out and get a whole nother round for this particular strain. Can you vaccinated people see the treadmill you have gotten on? Other headlines detected from Britain to Hong Kong. China faces, quote, colossal outbreak, unquote. Likely already in USA. Nations impose new controls. South Africa says it's being punished. More on that in a second. Blames West's hoarding of shots. Of course. Of course. Yeah, it's just that they didn't have enough shots in South Africa. That must be the reason. New York has declared a state of emergency. Unusual symptoms of mutant strain. Omicron panic, Fauci opens doors to lockdowns, and more travel restrictions. The WHO's jumping right on this. This was the WHO coming out and explaining what's going on. This is within days, and we'll talk a little bit about the timing, thanks to listener John, who sent me an interesting message this morning. We'll talk about that in a second, but this was the WHO.
Based upon the information that we have, particularly from South Africa, they have advised WHO that this variant should be classified as a variant of concern. So today we are announcing B11529 as a variant of concern named Omicron. This variant has a large number of mutations, and some of these mutations have some worrying characteristics. Right now, there are many studies that are underway. There's a lot of work that is ongoing in South Africa and in other countries to better characterize the variant itself in terms of transmissibility, in terms of severity, and any impact on our countermeasures like the use of diagnostics, therapeutics, or vaccines. So far, there's little information, but those studies are underway. So we need researchers to have the time to carry those out, and WHO will inform the public and our partners and our member states as soon as we have more information.
Translation. We want you to go ahead and freak out and be afraid. We want states to make emergency measures. We want travel to be disrupted. We want the people to stay constantly alarmed, but we really know nothing. We just found a variant and ran with it. You've got people all over the map saying this thing is more transmissible, but they don't know that. That it could be more deadly or strike more people, but they don't know that. They think that the vaccines do offer some level of protection, even though if it does escape, they may need to tweak the vaccines. But you should be better off if you have these vaccines, but they don't know that. They know absolutely nothing. Let's see if this was the South Africa. The South Africa person who actually was interviewed about this.
I think it's a hasty decision. You know, it is like a storm in a teacup. You know, I am practicing in Tshwane, where the epicenter is. And so far, what we have seen is very, very mild cases. So not sure why we are all up in arms. We know that there's a lot of mutations, but no one can tell us at this stage whether it means something or whether it's just going to fade away.
Yeah. So this is a woman who is actually practicing in South Africa. She's seen this variant, and she says, it's nothing. I'm not sure why we're jumping the gun while we're stoking all of this hysteria. It's nothing. The symptoms are extremely mild. It needs no more study, but she's seeing it real world. But is that the take that you got from the mainstream media as they roll out this Omicron? No, the mainstream media, this is batten down the hatches, close the airports. It was interesting to see Joe Biden issue a travel ban to African nations. How racist is that? Holy cow! Our black brothers and sisters in Africa no longer allowed in the United States. How? What's the word? Xenophobic. How xenophobic is that? I'm sure the media is just blistering Joe Biden with accusations of racism for shutting down flights. The funny thing about Joe Biden's flight restrictions on countries, I think it's on 8 countries in Africa, I think they take place on today. This was announced two or three, 4 days ago. If it's this emerging threat, this existential threat to the way of life of Americans and their health, why did they wait 2 or 3 days to shut down the flights from that area? Certainly not everybody did. This was a flight that landed in, I believe this was in the Netherlands. These people are just, you know, they're doing some traveling. Everything's going fine. They're reading their in-flight magazines, and the next thing you know, they hear this.
The Johannesburg flight, also our Cape Town flight, cannot enter the Netherlands without any restrictions. So what that means, that is what they are finding out right now. And as soon as I have that information, of course I'll let you know. But that is at the moment the information I can give you. And I can imagine that you have several questions, as I have as well. But that is the situation we are facing. I'll be back with information as soon as I have it. I'll try to keep you informed as good as possible.
Oh, you hear all the people rumbling. I know that's not great audio. That's recording of the captain of a flight who landed from South Africa saying, well, I know we've just made the journey. We're here on the tarmac. I know you're getting all your stuff together. Might want to get comfortable. We just got notice that none of us can deplane here. We're going to be facing restrictions. And you hear the slaves in that plane start grumbling. Shut up, slave. Shut up, you diseased slaves. I don't know. These people may still be stuck on this plane after they travel from South Africa, from Southern Africa to the Netherlands. That's a long travel day for people who've never seen a globe. And then they get on their tarmac at their destination and are told, nope, 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 nope. We're trying to figure out what to do with you diseases, with you threats. Now, what was interesting is, and thank you, John, for raising this, Bloomberg on the 24th of November, so what was that, 5 days ago, Bloomberg reported South Africa asked Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer to suspend delivery of COVID-19 vaccines as it now has enough stock. An illustration of how plunging demand is undermining the country's rollout ahead of a potential fourth wave of infections. This was before we ever heard the term Omicron, like a day before. Isn't that interesting? This feels a little bit to me like the pharmaceutical mafia got word that South Africa didn't want any more of their shots, and they said, are you kidding us? No, you're getting the shots. No, really, we don't need them. Thanks, but no thanks. Our people don't want these things, and Africa has not been experiencing a big problem with COVID, and Pfizer said, oh, you're going to take the shots. So the Pfizer PR machine, which controls the levers of basically all governments, judging by the experiment that they've got us under right now, did Pfizer put out the word, all right, we got to isolate South Africa. They just turned down a big shipment of our very profitable shots. Time to take them down a peg. Ban all South Africans from travel around the world until they take these shots. I mean, the timing is very interesting. I'm sure it's just another in a long line of coinkydinks that we keep seeing around this stuff, but pretty ominous stuff. South Africa says no to the jabs, and now the world says no to South Africa. Yeah. Like I say, just another coincidence. Be right back.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you All right, we are back. So this is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I would really like to think that this show would be a tool, or a better way to put it, would help some of the more hysterical people, or the people prone to some level of hysteria, kind of back up and take stock and calm down and just breathe a little bit. My style may have run off all of the people who were really scared of COVID, but my goal is to just reassure, just breathe. This Omicron thing, I'm playing the South African doctor that says, this is nothing. I'm seeing these cases. They're really mild cases. I'm telling you that maybe this is retribution against South Africa for refusing their shipment of shots by Pfizer. And so maybe some people who, and look, I was worried for the first 2 weeks of COVID hitting these shores after seeing pictures of Chinese people dropping dead in the streets. I was concerned. I've got children. But it just didn't take very long to go, 99.7% survival under the age of 75. It's 99.9. Oh, okay. I know what we're dealing with. No biggie. Mask off. No jab. I moved on with my life. It's the hysteria that is being driven. I mean, just being instilled in people over this stuff. Now, Joe Biden's going to make a speech about Omicron. For just a mutation of the virus we all are quite aware of over the last 18 months that the South African people are saying, it's no big deal. We just wanted to let everybody know. We didn't know you'd lose your ever-loving minds. They should have known. Thomas Dobbs being one of these pants-wetting hysterics. I can't remember who sent this to me, but I certainly do appreciate it. This was a recent... I want to equivocate that. I'm assuming this is presented as a recent meeting of the State Department of Health. It's chaired by Thomas Dobbs. It's the five nut jobs that sit around a table all masked. Five fully vaxxed grown men wearing masks, spaced a far apart from each other at the tables, but they still got their masks on. These are the insane, hysterical, pants-wetting men that are running the show here in Mississippi. But this clip, and again, I'm going to equivocate a little bit. I'm not sure. I don't think I see a date on this to know that this is new, but it's presented as a new meeting with Thomas Dobbs and his cadre of hysterics.
Low res, but this says Mississippi health official caught on Facebook Live video admitting that they will impose, quote, draconian restrictions if not enough residents make the, quote, right decision to get VAXX.
Y'all don't like it. We don't like it, but it works. And, you know, we'll do what it takes. And if enough Mississippians can't make the right decision to get immunized, then we'll have to do the draconian measures that keep the health system operational. And we all pay the price. Yeah. Everybody.
No, just us, Thomas Dobbs. There's Thomas Dobbs telling you. I don't really even care if this is an older clip, but it's presented, as I said, as a recent Facebook Live streaming of this, where he says, we're going to start taking draconian. If you can't make the right choice, so to your draconian measures there, Thomas Dobbs, we say bring them on. It takes a lot to get Mississippians into the streets, but you'll get us there real quick. This pants-wetting, hysterical woman. My apology to women out there. That's Thomas Dobbs. But I got to tell you, I got to play this clip. I warn people, I'm beholden to no party, no politician. A lot of people out there searching for a political hero. I'm telling you, there is no political solution to the problems that we are in. But everybody searches for a hero. They thought Trump was the hero. Many people still think he is. He's going to swoop in, save y'all. 2022, 2024, they're going to save us all. And if Trump can't do it, then DeSantis can. Really, I ran across this clip. Did you see this?
Information.
So here's, I think, the most important thing with the data. If you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, the chance of you getting seriously ill or dying from COVID is effectively zero.
Huh. That's Ron DeSantis, for anybody who doesn't recognize the voice. That's Ron DeSantis parroting the Big Pharma lie that your chance of getting sick, hospitalized, or dying with the shot is effectively zero. Now, he can't be that dumb. So why is he saying this? He's not done pushing these shots.
If you look at the people that are being admitted to hospitals, over 95% of them are either not fully vaccinated or not vaccinated at all. And so
that's another lie. Now, it could be the case in a hospital here or there. We're still told here in Mississippi that's the case, but it's not the case in Connecticut. It's not the case in Maryland. We've done the stories about it. It's certainly not the case in Great Britain. It's not the case in Germany. It's not the case in Israel, and it's not the case in Australia. But Ron DeSantis says it is the case in Florida, Thomas Dobbs says it is the case in Mississippi. Must be something in the water, these two states. This is Ron DeSantis, this emerging hero that everybody's looking for.
These vaccines are saving lives. They are reducing mortality. Mortality in nursing homes since we rolled out the vaccines in December is down over 95% due to COVID. Mortality for elderly people since we rolled out the vaccines is down nearly 90%. And so we're proud in Florida that we put seniors first on that because they were the most vulnerable. We have 85% of our seniors that are vaccinated and about 75% of folks over the age of 50. We have no mandate. We've provided information to people, and we've been very honest about any data that comes out. And I can tell you that if you look, you are seeing people that are vaccinated. For whatever reason, some, I think, can test positive if you're vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some, you know. I mean, you might still get it. You might still spread it, but still rush out and get your shot.
But they don't get seriously ill, except maybe rare instances. There's always one-offs on stuff. But I can tell you in Florida, your chance of surviving if you're vaccinated is close to 100%. And so we've worked very hard to get those vaccines into all our elderly communities and give it to other folks who could use it. Obviously, when you talk about some of the younger folks, the uptake has been less. I think that the distribution was very effective that we did, and I think we had a lot of good uptake on the Johnson & Johnson in March and into April. We saw a noticeable decline in J&J when they pulled it back because of the FDA. I think it was a huge mistake. I said so at the time, and I think that that sent a message that maybe this is not something that that they should be doing. I think that's been unfortunate because I took it. I think it's effective.
Yeah, so he says, yeah, it was really a bad idea. You know, when people were starting to develop clotting issues after the J&J thing and they paused the J&J, he thinks that was a really bad mistake. This is the new political hero of the right, Ron DeSantis. I guess he's going to get the same treatment that Trump does. Oh, yeah, I disagree with Trump on this one issue, but he still is the greatest man to have ever stood in the shoes of the presidency. This one issue? The issue of a mass experimentation on humankind, kind of a big issue to me. Maybe the issue of our time. Trump got it wrong, and now Ron DeSantis has got it wrong. Oh, he'll let you go shop. He's not going to do the mandates. I'm a big fan of the freedom that Ron DeSantis assured for his citizens in Florida, but if you think he's really an outsider, he may just be eyeing that presidential run in 2024 and realizing you don't get over the hump without Big Pharma say so. You can't even be a contender unless you carry water for Pfizer. That may be what's behind this. And he's willing to experiment on all of the people of Florida, encouraging them and putting out those statistics that are just demonstrably not true in order to convince his citizens to get the shots. There's your new hero. I like the French braids in your hair. You know, I know I make no friends on this show when I dare to go against the great Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis. But I am beholden to no politician, no party. I'm an observer. And I don't know why these people are getting passes on this. I mean, does Ron DeSantis really not know? And Donald Trump, for that matter, who's still out pushing the shots and claiming to have saved tens of millions of lives with his Operation Warp Speed. Do they really not know that even if you believe it was justified, even if you believe that the threat from coronavirus was so intense in the United States that we might have to sacrifice a few people for the good of the many, do Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump really not know that this is the deadliest shot it ever administered to human beings? Because that's just a fact. Now, again, you can justify it and say, well, maybe so, but if we hadn't done it, I mean, the 18,400 and something people that are on open VAERS right now, or on the VAERS system as having died from the shot, which we know is an undercount, sacrificing 18,000 for 300 million, that's worth it. Now, you can make that argument if you want to. I don't believe COVID was ever this existential threat. But they're not even making that case. They're just saying, go out and get this thing safe and effective, safe and effective. That's Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, the dream team for the Republicans in 2024. Do they really not know it's the most deadly shot ever? Go look at charts of adverse reactions to every inoculation ever given to human beings. This thing is off the charts. It's not even mentioned. See, the national politicians, the guys that want to play in the big leagues, they can't get anywhere without being signed off on by Pfizer. It's just not going to happen, I guess. Ron DeSantis bucked some trends, gave his people some freedom, but when it comes, push comes to shove, he knows where his bread is buttered.
Do I look lonely? I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Anybody wants to explain to me why I'm supposed to ignore Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis pushing the shot? I don't ignore it that Rand Paul, one of the greatest senators that the United States has ever had, he's holding Fauci's feet to the fire on everything from the Wuhan lab to gain of function to his hysterical pronouncements. Rand Paul is really the guy going after Anthony Fauci, but Rand Paul also says, oh, this vaccine is the best tool we've got. I guess I need to investigate because I don't fall in love with politicians. I guess I need to investigate exactly who the biggest campaign contributors to Dr. Rand Paul are. But at least he makes the case for natural immunity. But he still is out hawking the vaccine, and I don't think I've heard Rand Paul come out and say this is the deadliest shot ever administered. I think the only person I've heard say that is Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin, as he's had his press conferences with people who have suffered horrible, debilitating adverse events from these shots. I'm just not going to give anybody who's conservative, I mean, if there's anybody out there says, oh, you're out there bashing DeSantis, I guess you'd rather have Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I mean, please, you think like a child if that was your reaction to that. No offense, because I know a lot of people, that's their first thought. Don't you dare talk about my guy. I'm just telling you, there is no political savior out there, and obviously nobody that's going to try to extricate us. Tate Reeves was on some of the Sunday morning shows this weekend. He was there to talk about the Supreme Court's decision on heartbeat bill. But they asked him, in light of this new horrific news of the Omicron, they asked him about that, and he's just going to follow the science and the advice of his state medical director, the hysterical pants-wetting Thomas Dobbs. So Tate Reeves is right there with it. The traditional conservatives' view on this stuff is keep experimenting on humankind. Just don't force them. Encourage them to be experimented on. Just don't force them. I mean, that is a preferable position. I'll give you that, but it's not a good one. I believe that the Ron DeSantis types, the Donald Trump types, are much like Boris Johnson in Great Britain. He was elected as this outsider with his messy hair. He bucks all establishment. He's the conservative champion to free England. Look at what England's going through under this guy. Here's a clip of him talking now, giving you all the straight dope on the science when it comes to Omicron.
We don't yet exactly know how effective our vaccines will be against Omicron. But we have good reasons for believing they will provide at least some measure of protection.
I just love these scientific weasel words. We don't know. We have good reason to believe. I mean, we think. We hope. We'd like to believe. I mean, this is what science. And people are listening to this going, oh, well, they think it might. So I better rush out and become a part of this experiment.
And if you're boosted, your response is likely to be stronger. So it's more vital than ever that people get their jabs and we get those boosters into arms as fast as possible.
Now, if they say they're going to tweak the shot and make it more effective against the variant, why would you rush out? Why is it more imperative than ever to get the jab for the alpha strain? It's because they know if they can get that alpha strain shot into you, then they can spring this Omicron shot on you within weeks. I don't think there's going to be any, you know, wait 6 months from your booster to get the shot for Omicron, because they're going to tell you this is like a different disease. Rush out. We know you just got the booster and it's only been 4.5 weeks, but you got to go out and get this Omicron shot.
So from today, we're going to boost the booster campaign.
Oh, so clever.
We're already planning to do 6 million jabs in England alone over the next 3 weeks. And now we're looking to go further.
All right. So I've got a clip that leads me into another clip from Great Britain. I believe this is Great Britain. Let me double check here. Yeah. This is the UK. This is a Dr. Asim I can't pronounce his last name. Mohorlabob, something like that. This is him. He's in the UK. He's looking through the data, too, as Boris Johnson, the prime minister, goes out and tells you this Omicron, it's just a signal to rush out and get your third dose of this shot. Well, other doctors in the same country, I guess Boris Johnson hadn't heard this guy talk.
Now, what this abstract has shown, what this research has shown, is that markers associated with increasing the risk of heart attack and probably even progression of underlying heart disease, and people have already got some heart disease, has been significantly increased risk from 11% at 5 years, risk of heart attack, to 25%. Now, that's a huge increase.
Now, that's the study we talked about last week that was presented on the American Heart Association website and then reported on in Cardiology Advisor, mainstream publication for cardiologists around the country, about this large increase in markers that show your 5-year risk of acute coronary syndrome more than double for the people who got the shot, even 2.5 months out from the shot. And that's when they gave the presentation. So it may be still ongoing.
If this is true, then it's very concerning indeed. What I will share with you today, somebody from a very prestigious British institution, cardiology department, researcher, a whistleblower, if you like, contacted me to say that the researchers in this department had found something similar within the coronary arteries linked to the vaccine, inflammation from imaging studies around the coronary arteries. And they had a meeting.
Now, I want you to listen to this. This is the important part of this clip. Understand that there are whistleblowers out there. They've studied these things. They've seen these things. They've seen the increased risk in circulatory issues and heart problems. So why didn't they alert us all before they started experimenting on us?
These researchers at the moment have decided they're not going to publish their findings because they are concerned about losing research money from the drug industry.
Do you hear that? There's your medical community that comes to you in the white lab coat with a stethoscope and says, trust us, we're following the science. They're following the pharma-approved science. You got a team of researchers that know in Great Britain that they're about to inoculate tens of millions of people in Great Britain, and it could cause serious heart problems, and they don't say a peep because they don't want to lose their funding.
Today, somebody from a very prestigious British institution, cardiology department, researcher, a whistleblower, if you like, contacted me to say that the researchers in this department had found something similar within the coronary arteries linked to the vaccine, inflammation from imaging studies around the coronary arteries. And they had a meeting, and these researchers at the moment have decided they're not going to publish their findings because they are concerned about losing research money from the drug industry.
Now, I want you to remember, too, I read this report to you last week. Stephen Gundry, I believe, was the guy who wrote the report that was on the American Heart Association website. It was also repeated in Cardiology Advisor. This means that doctors across the United States have also seen this data. They've seen this increase in markers for acute coronary syndrome But to my knowledge, I certainly haven't heard it in the media. None of them have changed their tune on getting the shot. Seems like if a new danger emerges, particularly for those of you out there that may have some pre-existing heart conditions, it was more stark of an increase for you, a progression of that disease as a direct result of these shots. Have you heard the medical community? Have you heard the AMA, the American Medical Association, go, oh my gosh, we've just seen a study presented by the American Heart Association that shows that this is damaging people's hearts. We can't recommend this, particularly if you've already got heart issues. Oh, we definitely cannot recommend. No, they haven't changed their tune, and they know this. So even though this group of cowards in Great Britain said, well, we're scared the drug companies will yank their funding if we tell the people the truth about these shots, your medical community here in the United States also knows these things, but they're keeping their mouth shut.
Now, this person was very upset about it. Knowing this information, which is very concerning, Stephen Gundry's paper in Circulation. And anecdotally, I've been getting told by colleagues that they are seeing younger and younger people coming in with heart attacks. Now, what does this mean in terms of the data? We have to put the jigsaw, the pieces together. We know since July, there's been almost 10,000 excess non-COVID deaths. And most of those, or significant proportion of those, are being driven by circulatory disease, in other words, heart attack and stroke. There's been a 30% increase in people having dying at home. And often these are because of cardiac arrest. Of course, this is also something close to my heart because my own father is one of those statistics. So where do we go from here? I think the signal is quite strong. I personally think that this needs investigating. So I think the Joint Committee of Vaccines and Immunization should absolutely investigate this.
Yeah, they'll get right on that. I don't really know that body right there. What does he say? The Joint Committee on Vaccines and Immunizations? Sounds to me, if it kind of is similar to the American system, they're a vaccine sales organization. They're not an investigatory protective body for the British citizens. There have been things that needed investigation since these shots rolled out and before. These investigations aren't being done, and even the people who dare to do them realize, uh-oh, these results might have the pharma companies withhold funding from us. We can't release these results. Oh, they're being investigated. They're being studied. But they're not. The findings are not being released, except save for the few courageous doctors and medical professionals out there that cannot sit by and watch hundreds of millions of Americans be led to the slaughter.
I think that the researchers, I really hope that they take a look in the mirror and realize the ones from where this whistleblowers come from. They realize that they should publish this stuff because their duty primarily is to patients, not the interests of the drug industry.
Oh, this guy's so cute. Yeah. Medical, I mean, you medical people, you're supposed to be serving your patients, not the pharmaceutical company. Oh, that is so 50 years ago. That was back when you knew your doctor, he'd swing by your house and for $10 he'd treat your child with, you know, bed rest and chicken soup. Not anymore. Not anymore.
And I think the third thing, and this has been a discussion that's been ongoing, I think now it's high time that policymakers around the world put an end to the mandates. Because I think if this signal is strong and if it's correct, then history will not be on their side and the public will not forgive them for it.
Oh, the vast majority of the public doesn't even know what's happening to them. They're going to. And we'll see. I'm a big fan of tar and feathers. We've talked about that. I like stocks. You know, those things where you put these people out in front of the state capitol or the local jail or something, out there in the public, in the heat, in the cold, their head and their hands through one of those things that clap down on them and they get locked in for a certain period of time so the public can come by and, you know, throw tomatoes at them, curse at them, some kind of severe public humiliation. I've heard people suggesting shaving all their heads to really identify them as the criminals that they are. But this is a crime against humanity, what they're doing. And these bodies are not going to investigate these things, all of these things. And what's just really amazing is the circular corruption. You have a Congress here in the United States to look at our particular situation. And I know it's probably similar in many other countries. You've got a Congress that is bought and paid for by Big Pharma, so they give Big Pharma complete liability protection. Then they do things like Medicare Part D, where they give pharmaceutical companies access to all of America's seniors, and the government prohibits even negotiating with the pharmaceutical companies, which just means Medicare Part D, passed by the Republicans under George W. Bush, particularly Billy Towson, right here from our neighbor in Louisiana, who then took a job for $2 million a year as the head of the pharma lobbying group, Pharma. They passed Medicare Part D, prohibiting us from negotiating prices with pharmaceutical companies. This gives pharmaceutical companies massive new influx of money and corruption. They take a tiny bit off the top of that and continue to pay everybody who needs to get paid off. They give out the grants to the universities. They get everybody on the payroll. You see what I mean? Pharma buys Congress. Congress gives them liability protection, which increases profits. Then they pass Medicare Part D, which increases profits even more, and the pharmaceutical companies take just a little bit of those new profits that were given to them by the political class in this country, and they continue to buy them off. They keep the gravy train growing, and they give it out to hospitals. They give it out to universities. They make sure that everybody is on the teat, from politicians to researchers, are all on the teat of Big Pharma, so nobody can speak against them. It's quite the scam. Eventually, I believe it is looking to me like this is going to become so apparent to all but the most brain-dead, hypnotized Americans and world citizens of the problems going on with these shots that it's going to just be too big to ignore. But they will probably be able to foist it off for a lot of people onto some new variant. They'll say, that's the problem. It wasn't the shot. It's the new variant. That's why people are getting so sick. They're already refusing to acknowledge all of these excess deaths around the country, all the new cardiac events, all the athletes dropping in athletics these days. From all appearances, more than normal. Athletes do just spontaneously die from time to time. But the numbers we're seeing, a piece in Germany that said this is a dramatic increase in the number of athletes that are dying on the fields. Nothing else has changed that we can see. Boy. And you got Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump and Tate Reeves out there pushing these things. Now, they're not going to force you to take it. But they'll tell you you're dumb if you don't. You really need to. It's the greatest tool we've got. Forcing people. Convincing people to become a part of this experiment. It's just so hard to watch. I'm not going to not name and shame. I don't care how conservative or how heroic you believe they are. I'm going to call them out when they're doing this stuff. Be right.
Through the streets of Soho in the rain.
I was on YouTube the other day, and it popped up one of their little, you know, streams of propaganda that they have in among all my Curb Your Enthusiasm clips or exercise clips. You know, they like to throw in a couple of clips of mainstream news, and then they've got a ton of COVID propaganda on there. They had three videos, you know, the vaccines and your children. Each one of them, surprisingly, was all safe and effective. Rush out and get your kids vaccinated. I don't know if I'll have time to play them today. I did notice one thing about all of these videos, though. They're you know, like one bar across. Like I get two bars of videos that kind of go with the kind of stuff I'll look at, a lot of health stuff I'll find on YouTube. And then underneath that's three boxes, you know, COVID in your, you know, COVID vaccines in your kid and your children. So I looked across all of them just to see what they were saying. I knew what I'd find. It was interesting, though. On every single one of them, the comment sections were turned off. Every single one of them. There were four total. Three of them were short, so I may play them. One of them was about 5 minutes long. But all of them had the comments turned off. Isn't that interesting? They don't want the people to comment on how safe and effective these shots are for our children. They just want you to be told. Not to interact, not to tell your experience. What are they scared of that they would close off the comment sections on these things? Isn't that interesting? Well, I'll tell you what they might be scared of. There's a group called, or a guy, goes by the name of Barris. He did an actual poll on vaccine adverse events. VAERS right now showing, you know, 18,000 deaths, around 900,000 adverse events, tens of thousands of hospitalizations, permanent disabilities. You can go to openvaers.com, V-A-E-R-S, openvaers.com. You can see all the statistics. I'm not sure if it updates on Mondays or Tuesdays, but they compile all of the data from the VAERS system, the CDC's own monitoring system. They compile it there. It's an easy way to digest it. Of course, the government doesn't have a functioning website that makes it easy to parse through the information, so OpenVAERS does. But people understand that the VAERS system is underreported. I'll say it's probably, maybe it's higher reported for COVID, even though we've had whistleblower, after nurse, after doctor that says, look, our hospital's not reporting to VAERS. It takes too long. Most people don't even know about it. I have confirmed that with two doctors I've spoken to that did not know what VAERS was when I spoke to them. So this guy did a poll. The Barris, it's B-A-R-I-S, poll shows that, well, let me get to the numbers here, what he did. How many people he spoke to. Sorry, the site this is on has got so many pop-ups, I'm having to play Space Invaders here trying to get the information. Now, VAERS, according to this story, has currently reported 670,000 adverse events. That's out of the probably 200 million people, I think, that have taken these shots. So this guy, Richard Barris, known as the People's Pundit, currently one of the best pollsters in the country, he went out and started making phone calls to actually do a poll to speak directly to the people, not counting on VAERS. He spoke to 2,414 registered voters across the country. He drilled down enough to check all of the boxes on representative subgroups. It gave him about a 95% confidence interval in this poll. So he polled Republicans and Democrats and independents. He polled everybody. It was not a not a political poll in any way. It wasn't a call-in poll. It wasn't an online poll. Now let's see what his results were. The Barris poll shows that simply the, quote, serious adverse effects from the COVID vaccines described as events so serious that they, quote, prevent daily activity were reported to be 5.2% among all groups. This spans self-identified Democrat, Republican, and independent voters. Independent voters had the highest reported serious adverse effect rate at 6.5%. The extrapolated data would project out a national scale to around 9.4 million serious adverse events, which would dwarf the VAERS report by 14 times. If you take all of the events reported together, a whopping 63% of Americans who have taken the vaccine have had some kind of adverse event. Since there are 194 million Americans who are reportedly fully vaccinated, or nearly 60% of the population, there is no way to square the VAERS reports and the monumental scale of adverse events that are communicated by this trustworthy and reliable polling. Now, I don't know anything about this polling guy, but it is probably a little bit more accurate. We've talked about VAERS a lot here. Doctors will not take the time to do it if they even know about it. And many nurses who have seen people that they know and love have adverse events, and they go to their hospital and say, should I report this? And the hospital says, well, I mean, you can if you want. We don't really encourage you to. We don't think you should. There's just no way to know if it was the shot. I played one last week, testified in front of the Louisiana State Legislature. And she said she and her husband both had adverse events of this, and she wanted to know if it should be reported. And the people that she went to in her hospital said, well, we don't really encourage that. We don't think you should. But, I mean, if you want to, we're not going to stop you. That's the attitude of the hospitals. And, again, at like 30 minutes per report, plus follow-up discussions with the CDC, because they call and verify all these reports, you're asking for doctors and nurses to take a good chunk of their time out to do these reports. And that's another flaw in our system here. Is it a flaw or is it a bug? Is it a feature? Excuse me. It's a feature. Pharmaceutical companies want to make reporting adverse events as tough as possible. But this polling is showing not the VAERS 670,000 serious adverse events, but 9.4 million. That's starting to get up to numbers that are going to be hard for most people to ignore. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We need to remember the initial scam that has led us down this path towards these endless experimental shots. And that was the idea of an emergency use authorization pushed through by the Trump administration because they said there were no therapeutics to treat the disease. You have to have that first. You know, they might have tried to quash ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, because they are long-term drugs that are available in generic form, I believe. Merck may still have the patent on ivermectin, I'm not sure, but it's pennies a pill. It's just not a profit maker. It's something they would just kind of toss aside and just use the revenue from that to buy new office furniture every year. I mean, it's just a big nothing to them, so they didn't really want people getting access to this very cheap drug, and the money was going to be made in the shots, as Bill Gates told CNBC. It's about a 200 times return on investment. But the only reason that we got these shots in the first place is because they had to first convince us there was no other way to avoid bad COVID outcomes. Of course, vitamin D is also proven to be very effective. Heaven forbid they talk about that. But listen to this story. This is a Chicago area judge stood up and saved a grandfather's life with a single question that exposed hospitals blocking doctors from using a safe FDA-approved drug. He just asked one question, why? Sun Ng, a retired contractor from Hong Kong, traveled to Illinois to celebrate his only granddaughter's first birthday. He got COVID and was near death in a Chicago area hospital. All other options were exhausted, but the hospital refused to give Mr. Ng a generic FDA-approved drug with an extraordinary safety record that a doctor believed could save his life. Finally, a judge asked the right question about ivermectin. Quote, what's the downside? Put another way, if a man is dying of COVID in an ICU and all else has been tried, why not order a hospital to give a safe last-ditch drug? Edward Hospital, located near Chicago, offered three arguments as to why Sun Ng, 71, should not be given ivermectin. Number one, there could be side effects. The guy's at death's door. Suddenly, they're worried about side effects with ivermectin. Not with the shot, but with ivermectin. There could be side effects. Ordering ivermectin would violate its policies. And forcing the issue would be extraordinary judicial overreach. On each argument, DuPage County Circuit Court Judge Paul Fullerton firmly disagreed, quote, I can't think of a more extraordinary situation than when we are talking about a man's life. I'm not forcing the hospital to do anything other than step aside. I'm just asking, or not asking, I am ordering through the court's power to allow Dr. Bain to have the emergency privileges and administer this medicine. The hospital ultimately stepped aside. Dr. Alan Bain, an internist, administered a five-day course of 24 milligrams of ivermectin from November 8th through November 12th. Ng, who with his wife Ying had come from Hong Kong to celebrate their granddaughter's birthday, was able to breathe without a ventilator within 5 days. He, in fact, removed the endotracheal himself. He left the ICU on Tuesday, November 16th, and although confused and weak, he was breathing Sunday without supplemental oxygen on a regular hospital floor. Quote, this is from a Dr. Bain, who it offered to a hero buck the medical system in Illinois. I'm sure he's in hot water for this one. This is Dr. Bain said, every day after ivermectin, there was accelerated and stable improvement. He had administered the drug in two previous court cases after hospitals refused. Three times we've shown something, he told me, the reporter. Three times we've shown something. There's a signal of benefit from for ventilator patients. See, they had to knock down ivermectin first to get the emergency use authorization. And they certainly can't go back and admit until everybody has gotten their shot that maybe this actually did work. You know, they're studying it now. This was Japan. Ivermectin in Japan, considered a miracle. Remember this every time you hear Thomas Dobbs open his pie hole.
A warm welcome to today's talk, Tuesday the 23rd of November. Now, we want to look today at what can only be called the Japanese miracle, really. Let me just show you some graphics of Japan. It really is quite astounding compared to what we're still going through in the UK, the United States, Europe, other places. Here's the situation in Japan. So here we are now, very, very low cases, having come down from this massive increase here. And we fussed about this a lot and warned about how dangerous the Olympics were at this time. Now, just looking at this last massive wave, sort of tsunami of cases in Japan, that's that wave in a little more detail. So that's kind of spread out the timeline a bit there. So that's from the 3rd of August to the 12th of September, when the cases were high in Japan. Now, the next thing I'm going to show you must be a very strange coincidence, but let's look at it. Now, this is the date here when ivermectin was allowed as a treatment in Japan, the 13th of August. I'm going to show you why I've got this date on here now. That one there is the 13th of August, ivermectin allowed as a treatment in Japan. So that was the 13th there, that day there. So 13. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 days. And then the cases started to completely plummet off down to where we are now in Japan. So one of those interesting coincidences. Strangely enough, it's a coincidence that hasn't really been referred to on mainstream Western media.
Another coincidence, much like what we talked about last week with Africa. Well, you know, until the last couple of days, news was out that African continent had really not had bad problems with COVID. I saw financial guy like took a vacation to, I believe, Nigeria. He's walking through crowded markets, outdoor markets. It's just dirt and people crammed in with all these things. You know, you got to turn sideways to walk between the stalls. It's just crowded with humanity. Not a mask in sight. The black community on the African continent, not buying into the mask stuff, not having the problems with COVID. And just another coincidence, they just happen to almost all be on ivermectin because it's handed out like candy there for other tropical diseases on the African continent. Big province, a Pundar ash or something like that in India, allows ivermectin to be used. They crush COVID. Japan authorizes the use of ivermectin. They crush COVID. Africa's been on ivermectin. They have no COVID to speak of. Here, it takes a judge to force a hospital to simply do nothing and step aside to administer this safe and effective therapeutic. I say again, you want to put your health in the hands of these people? And Thomas Dobbs knows this, too. Thomas Dobbs, your state health officer, he knows ivermectin works. He's seen the studies. He's seen the research. He may be